bringing Seattle to the world and the world to Seattle. Follow us on Twitter at iGuestInfo. Send us your questions and we'll try to answer. Now enjoy the show.
Well, today's one of those days that we're bringing the world to Seattle, and it's a great day when you can have one of the owners of the world-famous Voodoo Donuts on.
Voodoo
Donuts. And we have Trace with us today, and Voodoo is more than a donut shop. It's a destination. It's like Beetlejuice meets Disneyland, or how would you explain it, Trace?
I kind of think of it as a typical donut shop, but it's, for me, typical has kind of been turned on its ear, but it is just that we make a good quality product. It's got a lot of crazy stuff in there, and people like to wait in line and stuff their donut holes with donuts.
Well, they do more than wait in line, because this is more than a destination, like I was saying. People, it's on every foodie's bucket list. I have talked to more people this week that knew you were coming on the show that started emailing me. I met down at Pike Market that they were on their way to Voodoo Donut. People were emailing me that it was on, they wanted to do that before they die, go to Voodoo Donut, that they were following you online. And from what I understand, Voodoo Donut for the first time is leaving the state of Oregon, and you're going to be opening a new store outside the state. So is that a rumor or is that true?
No, that's a true story. We're gonna dip our toe in the water in Denver, Colorado, and it's kind of the same market size as Portland. And I used to live in Colorado for a time back in high school and grade school, so I've kind of got a few connections there, and I always get a good feeling when I go back home. So that should be interesting. We're just in permitting and all that, you know, fun stuff. But that should hopefully open sometime in fall of
in
this
fall.
Year. So, yeah.
Well, of course, you know, we were disappointed here that you didn't come to Seattle first. But I wasn't quite surprised because, of course, Colorado just had legalized marijuana like Washington
yes,
did.
The mile high city and all. That just was kind of, I think, a pleasant serendipitous occasion. We didn't plan that because of that, but because of that, it certainly won't hurt. So the block that we're on, it's pretty great. There's a dentist, which is hilarious, this pretty great lesbian bar that has a pink pool table like our box, then us, then a tattoo parlor, then a dispensary. So it's a pretty one-stop shopping block in Denver, I think. Putting a donut shop smack in the middle of all that's going to be perfect.
Oh, the dentist must think he died and went to heaven.
Well, that's what I'm hoping. It's like if you get, you know, a perfect checkup, maybe we can give him a coupon for a free donut and try to reverse the trend there.
Well, you guys are known for your kind of wild and wacky donuts and the shapes of them, what you put in them. So I was just kind of wondering, are you going to be experimenting at all with maybe a marijuana donut or?
I think what we'll probably do is first get our feet wet and kind of before we start getting into the whole legalities of how that can work. I think we just want to establish ourselves. But I can imagine a THC-infused donut would probably go over gangbusters, and especially a THC-infused Voodoo donut, I think, would probably be pretty popular. We've been approached here in Oregon as well, and you know, it's still illegal. It's legal if you have a car. I mean, it's very complicated, as it still is in Washington and stuff, too, and we don't really want to be made an example of quite yet just to make a marijuana donut, but believe me, it could certainly be on the horizon.
Absolutely. Well, of course, the world will be looking to you to be the leader in that when the time does come.
Well, I hope so. I think, I mean, and again, we have experimented, not at the shop. What we have done is, without any illegalities whatsoever within our shop, we've sent out our shells or rings and then frostings and creams and things like that and let some place where it is legal add the tinctures and things to what they're supposed to be, and then we, in fact, sampled those, and I can say without hesitation that they worked. So, and they're kind of great because then you kind of want to eat more donuts, and it's kind of back, and it's just a wonderful
oh,
problem.
Oh, yeah. It's like a never-ending gift. It just keeps going.
Yeah.
So That is amazing. Well, you just celebrated your 10th anniversary, so congratulations on that.
Yeah, thank you very much. I mean, it's just unbelievable. There's so many businesses down here in Portland that have been around for, you know, 30 years or 100 years in some cases. So, I'm always still pretty humbled by some other ones. But 10 years is nothing to shake a stick at, and we're almost teenagers, my gosh. Soon we can rebel against ourselves.
Well, and if you rebel, I think that'll start happening at the Denver location.
Yeah, I think so.
Lucky Denver.
Lucky Denver, I know. And Denver, you know, we everybody keeps asking us what to expect and all this stuff, and we're just going to make our donuts, and the circus always kind of comes to us, and we're pretty good at managing the circus, you know, and I think Denver will be a good fit for us. So.
Tell us about the circus that happened, because this 10-year anniversary party had to just be off the hook over the weekend.
Well, it wasn't as crazy. I mean, it's just kind of what we do, every sort of day, but we basically just kind of humored the line. We Cat Daddy, I have a business partner, Kenneth Fox from Cat Daddy. Everybody calls him Cat Daddy, and he and I basically just kind of came down, and we worked the line. We handed out T-shirts. We had bands play. We handed out some golden tickets. I mean, none of it was... When we first opened our second location, we had a full police escort parade, and we brought the grease from Voodoo 1 to Voodoo 2 to continue the mojo, and that was, I think, a little more of a woo-ha, but we always market somehow. We usually do beer bongs in front of the old entrance, and we did that on Thursday, which was our anniversary proper, and then Saturday we had these, the golden ticket was great. We gave it to this kid who was a huge fan, and he completely, he lost his mind just wrapping around that he can get donuts for life for the rest of his life. So he's pretty excited.
Is that what the golden ticket represented, was donuts for life?
Yeah, donuts for life. You can get 20 bucks worth of product a day and anytime you want to walk into the place. And basically the only rule is, you know, if you abuse it, you lose it. But we've handed out about 10 or 11 of those is all. And most people are pretty respectful, so we haven't had to take back anybody's card yet, but those are the rules. So, and it's amazing, like when you give free stuff away, geez, give people free T-shirts, and everybody gets all fussy about size and color. throwing these things at you from 100 yards away, and you're coming back up to me, do you have this in black? I'm like, no, you caught the yellow one, I'm sorry. So that was kind of amusing, but whatever, we handed out a bunch of shirts. I mean, we didn't really do, it was really fun. We had a blast, and there was just great bands, and just kind of goofy bands, and they played at Voodoo 1, and then we'd ship them over to Voodoo 2, and then they'd play there, and they'd alternate, so we had stuff going on at both locations, and then we do have a location in Eugene too, but we just couldn't be in three places at once. But we sent them balloons and flowers, and people were doing their own partying down there too. So
absolutely, and that actually is a really good location for anyone who's not familiar with Eugene, Oregon. But the university is there, and they have a lot of students, and it's right off the 5 freeway, so there's a lot of people coming and going, and. And I think they get a lot of traffic at that location as well.
Yeah, it's nothing like Portland. It's just not as big a market, but it's still a great shop. It's Voodoo Trace. It's our third location, so it shares a name.
Named after you, yes.
Wow.
Well, what's been your biggest surprise over the past 10 years?
I think Cat Daddy and I both sort of, in our wildest dreams kind of thought we would be at the place where we are now. But again, those are our wildest dreams. And to actually, accomplish that and just really have this completely insane, donut shop. And there's a lot of people who just said, a donut shop, I don't get it. And, you'll never make it. And now we can have people eat crow.
Exactly.
But, we always had this pretty great idea, and we just, and again, it kind of blows me away because it's just fried dough, we just kind of happen to put weird toppings on them or things, but now that's sort of the norm, everybody puts bacon on stuff now, and we certainly didn't invent bacon, but I can say safely we invented the bacon maple bar before anybody else did, so.
Right.
And that was always kind of in the plans. It was something savory, something sweet. We just didn't know exactly what it was. And then when we hit upon it, that's been pretty great. And it is flattering, but also annoying to watch people put cereal on donuts. And people more like you know, big companies, you know, the Fred Meyers and the Safeways and stuff, like their crappy donuts that they bake off, are putting cereal on donuts and putting bacon bits on donuts and things, which, I mean, I apologize to the listeners out there for starting a terrible bacon trend, but...
Well, you know what they say, imitation is the highest form of flattery, so...
Absolutely, and as I say, like, yeah, we can't trademark putting breakfast cereal on donuts, but, you know, it seemed to be a good idea at the time, so...
And, well, I think
now
most people know.
It seems to continue to be a good idea.
But people actually get married there. I mean, it's more than a donut shop. I mean, it is more,
yeah,
way more than a donut shop.
Yeah, we've probably done 400 weddings in 10 years, I'd imagine, and... In fact, we have one this weekend, and we just did one Saturday. And, I mean, we get a lot of weddings. For $250, you get donuts for $30 and coffee, and it's kind of a wham-bam, thank you, ma'am. It's right in the shop. We just, stop the line, and we marry people. And, you have to bring in your – there's a 24-hour or 72-hour cooling-off period here, so you have to wait 3 days before you can actually – get married. So as long as people have their paperwork properly filled out and all of that, we're happy to marry them. So and that's been kind of a, that's just, you know, we're voodoo donuts. They're supposed to have ceremonies and rituals and things. So having weddings just sort of, you know, would kind of just fell into the whole shtick of voodoo.
Sure. Well, who has their license? Is there someone within the company?
A bunch of us do. Cat Daddy and I both do. And then we've got three other people in the company that do now. So still pretty minimal about who can perform them, but you'll get, if you get Cat Daddy and I, then you're getting one of the owners. But we do have other people within the company that do a great job as well. So,
right. Well, how did you guys come up with Voodoo for the name?
Well, the name itself, I mean, Voodoo. We always like to say it has a lot of O's. They look like donuts. But with Voodoo, our logo is Baron Samedi, who is the guy that you see, like, the head of parades in New Orleans and things, but he's the guy that when you die, he's the one who tells you if you're going to go to heaven or you're going to go to hell. And when you see him on Earth, you're supposed to adorn him with sweets. That's the thing that he likes. He likes sweets. So it just sort of, between voodoo and the Baron and all of that, it just kind of, we have a big cauldron of fat that we do our rituals around, and we conjure up sunny spirits and in the shape of donuts, and we like to adorn our Baron with sweets every single day, 24 hours a day.
Well, is the Baron the guy in the logo?
Yeah, that's kind of a friend of ours designed the logo for us after a few attempts, but that's our guy, and he's kind of like the 7-Up guy in the James Bond movie. Is a pretty good example of who Baron Samedi is.
It's perfect. It's a perfect logo. But how did you come up with a pink box? Because you are really known. I mean, this pink box
has made its way
into movies and TV and everything.
Yeah, good things come in pink boxes, don't they?
That's right.
So we it's just kind of a bakery, standard bakery box. It's not like we invented the pink box, but a lot of people, nobody was really using them in Portland. They're all using white boxes. And we were like, well, why? We have to have a pink box. So we, as I say, good things come in pink boxes, and we started putting good things in those pink boxes.
Yeah, it's for whatever reason, it just stands out. So even though you were maybe not really thinking how far the pink box logo would go, but like I said, it's been in movies, and it's just become a classic trademark.
That pink box gets you into all sorts of trouble. It really does. And, I always liked pink as a kid growing up, and I always got a lot of guff for it, but it's kind of ironic that for wearing, pink Izod shirts in the early 80s and getting yelled at, I'm now driving around a pink convertible Mustang and having pink boxes surrounding me kind of every day. So
that's amazing.
I'm wearing a pink shirt, actually, as we speak. I'm wearing a
wearing pink all the way to the bank every day, I'll tell you that.
What we try to do.
Well, there's been so many celebrities that have just been on board. I mean, you've been on the Rachel Ray Show. Anthony Bourdain made his stop through there. Rod Stewart.
Man versus
Ben
Armisen, Food.
Man versus
and all that
Food.
Stuff.
Oh, the Amazing Race came through there.
Yeah, Amazing Race. Yeah, we were the second to last clue on the last. And that was hilarious. That was a huge, big secret. We couldn't, we didn't know. They really wanted to do it at Voodoo 1, and we were in the middle of opening up Voodoo 2. Which is just like a mile away, and we were like, man, we just got it. Is there any way we can, you know, try to do this at Voodoo 2 because it would be just great for us. If they want to do it at Voodoo 1, and God, we had to sign, you know, $5 million things that we wouldn't talk about it because, you know, if we talked about the Amazing Race before it was filmed, it would sort of ruin the entire deal. So it was a big, funny secret. Yeah, we kind of had to meet these guys kind of secretly in certain places, and we worked out a deal with them, and they – and they actually paid us. We got them to pay us because we had to, since we couldn't, we had to kind of suspend our opening of Voodoo 2 because they didn't want two places to confuse them. So we really needed to get open at Voodoo 2, but they just wanted to have the one place so there wasn't two clues to go to. And so we made them pay for that privilege. So that was kind of great. And
oh,
they were
yeah.
great. They were great to work. And we didn't even, God, they were there for just moments. I mean, but it's so funny to watch that show and just like, it's like one block away and everybody's running around frantically trying to figure out where Voodoo Donut is. That was kind of hilarious.
Well,
yeah, I think
in Portland knows.
Maybe my favorite celebrity probably that's been in kind of recently too is Vanna White came in. They did a whole Wheel of Fortune thing down here for a week and Vanna came in, and she and I kind of have a little thing going on. She got to, like, kind of put my arm around her and squeeze her really hard on her hip bone, and I heard an audible groan.
Did she actually eat a donut?
Oh, she ate tons of donuts. She ate more donuts than anybody. She and Anthony Bourdain are the ones who ate the most donuts. She ate more donuts than the Man vs. Food guy did.
Wow.
So, yeah, Vanna was awesome and totally a good sport. But, yeah, she ate – in fact, her producers made her eat – we had, like, a whole rack of, excuse me, different donuts and – they're all colorful and interesting, and he kept pulling out trays and completed donuts. And he was like, why don't you eat one bite of every one, which is, like, insane. And Vanna did it. You know, a bite of an old-fashioned, a bite of a Fruit Loop donut, a bite of a buttermilk bar, a bite of a triple chocolate penetration, a bite of a, you know, on and on. And she was just an awesome sport. And I kept handing her napkins, and she would dab at her mouth. And I kept saying things like, I've been thinking about this my whole life, Vanna White. But yeah, she was a great sport and super cool, and she's pretty darn famous.
Oh, absolutely! You know that makes me like her more. That I know that she ate her donuts.
She was awesome. She was so pro. It was pouring down rain. She had a limo, which whatever. She's Vanna White. She should have a limo. But
yeah,
hopped out with a handler with an umbrella. Just came in. Didn't really even know what she was doing. I mean, they just said, you know, you got to be a Voodoo Donut, and we made her decorate some letters and stuff, but she was trying to do numbers, and she wasn't doing very well, and she's like, I hate doing numbers, I do letters, and it was just funny. But yeah, then also just, we got to go to the taping, and I kept telling my girlfriend that, it's like, I think Vanna White's got a little thing for me, and kind of kiddingly say it, but boy, when she came out, she was blowing kisses at me, and shooting guns from her hips at me, and
wow.
But yeah, as I say, I love Vanna.
That is amazing. Well, you know, have you guys been approached at all to do a reality show there?
Oh, God, so many times, and we just turned them down because now it would just be terrible. I mean, back when we first opened, I bet we would have said yes to it just to get the notoriety and the stuff. But, like, everybody wants to hear your ideas, and we've got 6 episodes already written that we just wrote for people, kind of a between Croft Super Show and kind of more like almost an animated Cross Super Show reality show about the donut shop, like not quite like the normal, because everybody's just looking for trouble and problems. And the last thing I want to do, we're so busy already, that the last thing I want to do is put cameras up everywhere and have the networks, you know, figure out strife and problems, you know. It's pretty boring. I mean, the donut shop's pretty boring. It's not like that much stuff going on. It's a lot of hard work, and people are in the way. A film crew would just be unmanageable. And, yeah, we sat at the table with Hollywood quite a bit, and they always say, oh, that sounds great. We'd love to hear your ideas, and oh, my gosh. And then it always gets to the head people, and all they want is another Jersey Shore or whatever.
Right.
That just doesn't interest us at all.
Right, so, right.
And it did, as I say, at one point, you know, maybe 8-9 years ago, if somebody wanted to do that. But, you know, now when we got popular, they started coming. And, you know, now everybody's got a reality show. And it's just like, and they just can't believe we tell them no. They just, they hate it. It just drives them. Because they're like, can you imagine how famous you'll be? And we're like, we're famous enough right now. We don't need, and, you know, and I don't, you know, I still do all sorts of dangerous, crazy stuff that doesn't mean to be on TV. And, you know, it's, Cat Daddy's got a family, and we don't need any of that. So,
well, on the surface, it would seem like it would be just the perfect place for a reality show with everybody coming in and waiting.
I mean, it's basically the only. Yeah, the line would be great, you know, but the concept of following Cat Daddy around and I of what we do is pretty boring. I mean, we meet with lawyers and bookkeepers, and we have 120 employees right now in 3 locations, and you know it's like trying to be fair to everybody and do things correctly and right. You know, we're good employers. I don't need a camera in my face for that. I mean, what would be fun is like the camera, the line. You know, the line is what's interesting. You know, but that's
right.
Because there's people from all around the world waiting in line together for donuts. So.
Voodoo 1 and Voodoo 2 are only about a mile apart, do you guys do any like donut runs, with people from one location to the other at all?
Oh, we've done some stuff. We've talked about, you know, like hands across the Burnside Bridge would be pretty hilarious, just stack donuts all the way across. But, you know, people do all sorts of crazy stuff. I don't even know. I'm sure that's happened. You know, there's always scavenger hunts and things happening that, you know, I don't organize, but Voodoo's always part of. And, but yeah, it's kind of a never ending, you know, people always want to use Voodoo Donut or donuts for something, you know, and it's hard to like protect your brand and things as well. And if, when people are constantly trying to exploit it as well, and it's a fine line, because I mean I get there's fans, but I also people that take pictures of things that are copywritten and then make their own art with them and think that we'll be, you know, flattered by that is sort of annoying.
Right, right.
You know? And it's amazing about how many people do that. It's just like it's like people just don't really. I mean, granted, there were donut shops before we opened a donut shop, so you can say that we copied somebody else's idea as well. But it's just amazing that, you know, with the Voodoo donut part, just how many folks are they just want to, you know, glom onto something. And anybody's always telling us what we should be doing, too. I love that, too. It's like, you know, what you really should be doing. And,
no, because you guys have it. Keep doing what you guys have.
Yeah.
One of
the best moments we had was when we were both Cap Daddy and I were still working 20-hour days or whatever. And, you know, sometimes I would make the donuts and he would work the counter or vice versa. But one of the times I was working in the back, and he had to deal with the customers, and I was wrestling with donuts in the back. And he just got a ladder and just wrote on the ceiling right above the counter. He just wrote, you know what you should do, ... Because so many people were coming in and telling us what we should do. So now we just point to the, you know what you can do. And so when people say that, you just point to the ceiling, and then people read it, and they go, oh.
It's like you've never heard that one before. No.
Yeah. Well, or you know, and it's like, that's a great idea or something. But look, we're doing what we're doing. We're at that point, you know, we were working our asses off. And it's just like, you know, you go out and go do that, sir. That sounds like a great idea. But maybe you should go do that. I think Paul Westerberg, who I just love of The Replacements, I think he said he had some quote of, as soon as somebody either tells you you're doing something wrong or tells you what to do it better, you should just simply turn and walk away. So,
right.
Like, well, thank you, Paul Westerberg.
Well, you guys are known for kind of, you're, like what we were talking earlier about, your donuts that you have the maple bar with the bacon on it or the cereal. What hasn't worked? Is there something that you guys tried and then you
go, oh, sure. Yeah, I mean, the wasabi donut was kind of a dud. The fresh oyster donut, where we'd run across the street to the oyster bar that's been there for 106 years and get a fresh oyster, and with every order run over and get a fresh oyster. That kind of was silly. And oysters and donuts just didn't really go over great. And I, you know, like just occasionally there's just kind of, or I was kind of like experiment with like liquor donuts. Mm-hmm. Not to like get drunk on it, but like, yeah, because we do a lot of work with, you know, like Jack Daniels has approached us, so we'll make like these whiskey dick donuts, or I don't know if I can say that, but I just did, mm-hmm. on the air, and we would make, you know, sort of infused donuts with Jack Daniels or whatever, and we've made some of those, but they just kind of come out kind of weird. They're just never exactly as good as I'd expect them, because you don't, with donuts, you're not cooking. I mean, you fry stuff, but we're not frying the Jack Daniels in the donut. It's always in the cream or the frosting or something. So dealing with, you know, dealing with liquor and cream is always sort of a dicey proposition.
Right.
But, you know,
right.
They come out. You know, we've done it. We've made some stuff we could be proud of, but to sell them for a all the time kind of thing, I don't think we've ever really nailed the proper formula for those yet. And then we just, you know, we already have about 100 and I don't know, probably a hair over 100 varieties of donuts. And, you know, it's just, at one point, you just are confusing the customer. I mean, and just
right.
one store made one at one shop, and they want to get it to second spot. So, you know, that is the thing that we're learning as we go along. You know, there's consistency. You need all the shops to be the same. We got to do all this stuff without becoming corporate. We still want to remain, you know, true to our roots and good guys and all of that. And yet, you know, we're constantly, you know, up against, you know, now we have POS. You know, we used to be just, we just go through cash registers. We only have 4 buttons on the register, you know. Why? But now we have POS, and now we can track all the donuts, which I was all against, and now I love POS. I think it's the coolest thing in the world. But for a while, a point of sale for people out there in radio land, you might not know what POS is. But, you know, just a cash register that everybody has, that, you know, like with the computer screen and you push button. So now we can actually see how many bacon maple bars we sold over the month of April or whatever. We can actually see how many this and how many that and track this and track that. So there's definitely something to be said about that sort of technology and tool and the way we've changed. But you know, I think all in all, it's still Cat Daddy and I are the ones signing the checks, and we're the ones kind of giving the interviews. And then we've got, you know, we've got COOs, and we've got assistants, and we've got HR people, and, you know, lawyers, and, like, you know, the whole gamut of a real, honest to God, you know,
business. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And so for people to know when they get there, though, you guys are cash only, right?
We are cash only, and we've just remained cash only, and that's, I think we'll probably remain cash only for as long as we possibly can. There just seems to be really no upside to having credit cards. We have an ATM machine. Most donut sales are usually under $20, you know. So, and, you know, for a long time there, you know, I mean, they're under $5. So, you know, for all the hassle of, and then you got to pay the credit card company then.
Exactly.
That's where we actually make money off the ATM. And,
exactly.
You know, and having an all-cash business definitely has its struggles as well, but we get through them. So yeah, all you people out there thinking about holding us up, just we've got precautionary places, things in place. So.
Right.
But yeah, it's hilarious. The whole.
Well,
the whole
cash
thing.
Only, so people know that doesn't mean debit card. It means cash.
Yeah, it means cash only. Cash on the barrel head, just like the olden days. You know, and I find, you know, everybody gets so blown away by that. You know, some people are so freaked out and just like, how can I get into the 21st century? But I go to fancy restaurants in New York and places all over the world, and it's cash only, you know. Or you're going to a fancy restaurant that costs $600-$700, and it's cash only, man. I mean, they're just doing fine too. So
absolutely,
it's just how we operate. So
well, and you don't ship donuts. Somebody just tweeted us about shipping, and
we never ever ship donuts. And they just, well, yeah, that's probably our biggest request, and we've sent them to ourselves in Chicago. We did a big conference in Chicago, some advertising thing, which was hilarious because we don't advertise. That's another big thing. We really don't advertise very much. I can't say we never run ads, but, like, for the most part, we don't run ads. And,
yeah, you don't need to.
Why should we, right? And,
people are coming to you.
But it's funny to, you know, go to an advertising thing and have be the keynote speakers for a company that doesn't advertise. But But we sent ours because everybody wanted donuts. We had to have this donut eating contest. That was kind of the big thing. And So we shipped just all these donuts, I mean, $1,000 worth of stuff, and we got it out on the last plane and started to snow in Portland and blah, 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 and we get out there, and they all arrived, and we take them up to our hotel room, and it just, they all just look like big, dirty diapers. I mean, and we sent them as, you know, first class as you possibly can, caution, fragile, this side up, and there's just nothing you can do. They're very fragile, you know, they're like little fragile little gifts, each one, and they just, the more people that touch them and the more just getting thrown around, you know, we really feel like a donut shelf life. I mean, they start dying as soon as they come off the fryer. And, you know, you got about a good 8 hours of life before you just let them die a natural death. Don't put them in the freezer. Don't refrigerate them. Don't wrap them in cellophane. Don't put them in the microwave. You know, just let them do their thing. Just eat them or, you know, and most donuts, I mean, you know, stale donuts are just never really a problem with us because we make donuts 3-4 times a day, ships of donuts, as well as they fly off the shelf so fast. That's one of our big pet peeves is when people claim I just don't think the donuts are very good because they're stale. And it's just like, if you don't like the donuts, that's fine. But if they're stale,
we just made them.
A lot of umbrage to that. Yeah, they're not stale. So, and who knows where they got their donut. They might have had
right.
it at their friend's house. It's been sitting there for 4 days. And
right.
So that
right.
always just drives me crazy. So I'd like to just, now I'm sure other donut people out there can relate. But most people, you know, donuts until, you know, I don't know, just voodoo, but, you know, with donuts becoming sort of popular and et cetera, I mean, most donuts that you would get would be at a Safeway or Fred Meyer's, and they're not, they're, a lot of those are baked instead of fried, and, you know, they're chock full of preservatives, so sometimes you're getting a donut that's 3 days old that's been sitting there
right.
on the shelf, you know, and
right,
that's what
right.
people are kind of used to. That's the norm, and for us, that's not the case. So.
Well, and, you know, a big part of the, you know, experience is just coming there and being with other like-minded people and being part of what's going on. And there's no way to recreate that, even though.
Yeah, exactly. And that's another reason why, if we're going to ship them. And I'm sure we could start a wonderful, but they look terrible. it's not that they still taste fine. I mean, they're just, it's still chocolate and dough and blah, blah, blah. And they just end up just looking terrible, and we want our best possible product. Who are, you know, we would have so many complaints about what, you know, I ordered these donuts and they came and they ended up looking like, you know, so we just don't ship donuts. And that's we're happy to ship. We've got a thing we call the fryer flyer, which is it's an 8.5 by 11 sticker, but it's all little cutout things of donuts with like 13 different donuts. So you can actually send somebody a dozen donuts, but they're just stickers.
Oh, so, okay. Oh, and then also people can go online, though, and they can buy...
Oh, you can buy T-shirts and underpants mm-hmm. and hoodies and all sorts of stuff, you know. But and we are starting, I mean, since I got you on the air and you're asking me questions, we're going to be starting Voodoo Donut recordings here, too, and we're going to be putting out the 12-inch singles from different bands, if anybody out there who is interested. But we're one side needs to be of a donut theme, whether it's Voodoo Donut or just donut themed song, and then the other side they can do whatever they want with it.
Wow!
And we've got a few not super notable names, but you know, for Portland people, Sam Coombs's band, Sam and Quasi's doing something on Lou Barlow, a Dinosaur Jr.'s, so that he's interested and. So we're going to kind of put out this sort of, you know, 13 kind of collectible singles and then kind of go from there and see what else happens, whether we continue to do singles or actually release records or something. But
is there information about that online that people, that maybe musicians
can really go to? Too much. Not too much still. It's just Voodoo Donut Recordings. If somebody, they could get a hold of us through Voodoo Donut and we could at least get back to them
if
they are interested. So.
Okay, that's pretty cool, especially because
give us our street roots back.
Well, you are a musician, so that doesn't surprise me at all that
yeah, I love both Cat Daddy and I. Yeah, we love rock and roll and all that, and music's important to the donuts and the making of them and all of that's kind of important to the whole vibe of the place, I guess. So.
Well, we just really want to just keep telling you to do exactly what you're doing. Don't listen to anyone else because they will all.
Oh yeah, we just do what we do. We're just still following our instinct and trying our very best to remain humble, and I realize we're pretty lucky guys to be running such a crazy empire. So.
Well, besides Denver, and then I'll let you go because you've given us a lot of time here, but is there any plans maybe to open even more stores?
Yeah, you know, without getting, you know, special stores in special places, you know, I think our best is our best line on that. I certainly don't want to be a day-to-day operation guy of, you know, 100 of these things everywhere, you know.
Right.
But, you know, we might look after Denver or get that rolling and then, you know, maybe look at a couple other joints. We've been to Amsterdam and, you know, we've got people who want to fly us all around the world. So we're
Oh, yeah, never even thought of around the world. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
The world is your donut.
The world is our oyster donut.
Well, Trace, I really appreciate that you took the time to come on. And
oh, hey, no problem at all. Thank you.
We get
well, thank
so
you
many
so much.
People. We get so many people talking about Voodoo Donut and sharing their experiences with us, and we wanted to make sure that we got you guys on. And it's just if you are in Portland, anyone can direct you to Voodoo Donut. All you have to do, and people get if they have long layovers, they'll come straight from the airport.
Oh,
to
they
Voodoo
come.
Donut.
Yeah, we're only about 7 miles from the airport. Voodoo 2 is the closest one to the airport. And that's usually the one that doesn't have quite as crazy as line, too, and there's better parking. So you can probably, if you were to rush down, and that's happened. I mean, our first dream when Cat Daddy and I opened the place was like, wouldn't it be great if somebody, you know, comes from the airport, you know, before they check into a hotel and come to our, and that happened like 8 years ago. But I can, you know, both Cat Daddy and I were there when it happened. It was a guy with the suitcase, and he just got off the plane, and he was checking into the hotel across the street, but he stopped off at Voodoo first, and it was just like, well, cross that one off. I mean, that's just amazing.
Well, that was great that you were there, too.
Oh, yeah, it was just awesome. So from the womb to the tomb, everybody likes donuts.
Well, I'm going to get down there myself shortly and experience it. I've been to the one in Eugene. My son lives in Eugene, so we swung by there and it was just a great time. And
yeah, that's a nice shop. I like that shop a lot.
It is. It is a real nice shop. And but I want to get down to the gritty one.
Yeah, the real deal.
In Portland.
Yeah, smack dab in the crotch of Portland.
And that's where I want to be. How many
that's
times
where
do you
we all want to be. All right.
All right, Trace. Thank you, and just continue.
You're
success.
So welcome.
All right.
You too.
Okay,
bye-bye.
So that was Trace, and he's one of the cult classic Voodoo Donuts. And if you are in Portland or Eugene or coming shortly to Denver, make sure that you check out Voodoo Donuts because it is absolutely, like I said, an amazing destination. If Hollywood comes calling, you know they have something going on. So it's just, like I said, it's on every foodie's bucket list. Everybody wants to go there. People share their experiences. There's whole online Voodoo clubs of people sharing their experience of going to Voodoo Donuts. It's more than the donut. It's the experience. So we certainly appreciate Trace coming on with us today. And if you have a Voodoo Donut experience, be sure to share it with us. You can find me on Twitter at iGuestInfo. And you can hear this show again and other shows either at SeattleWayRadio.net or NorthwestPrime.com. Thank you for joining us, and we will be back with more interesting shows from nice people doing great things from around the world. Have a great day.